Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk radio continues. This is hour two of two. It is November the 11th in the year of our Lord, 2019, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founding fathers. Happy Armistice Day, or some people say Veterans Day. Believe it or not, I don't really know that we ought to wishing people a happy day today. I don't know that it's a happy day. I like to think of it more of wishing people a reverent Veterans Day, or maybe you want to say a grateful Veterans Day. And I'm grateful that America's safe for sure. But the term armistice is really important to understand. It means truce or an agreement to end the war, to end the fighting. Yes, ending fighting in America or around the world on behalf of America would truly be a reason to celebrate, ladies and gentlemen. We fall for many, many, many lies surrounding war. Okay? You know what? Politicians like to make war because it gives them a lot of money. It lets them avoid responsibility. It lets them to take credit when things are going well, but yet place blame elsewhere when things aren't going well. The people, sadly, love war. Instead of bread and circus, we've become blood and circus in America. It's an absolute sad shame. We ought not be a warlike people. We ought to be a peaceful people, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, indeed, war is a racket. To learn more, you can check out the booklet, War is a Racket, by Major General Smedley Butler. And that's available on the internet. Check that out. But you know what? We should oppose war, folks, for a lot of reasons. We talked about war all last hour, and the doctor's in the house, so I wanted to give him a chance to chime in on this topic as well. Dr. Scott Bradley with us, his goal to preserve the nation, and he speaks out constitutionally every chance he gets on his website, freedomsrisingsun.com, and there's a Q&A, webinars, and a whole lot more, not to mention his books and collegiate series, etc. FreedomsRisingSun.com. The goal is to preserve the nation. And so let's talk about this war a little bit on Veterans Day. I want to start out and say, I don't know that it's a happy Veterans Day, but it certainly should be a grateful one that we're at peace. And when I say we're at peace, that, you know what? War hasn't touched the average American. And if so, it's very rare and very fleeting. And so when they basically sanitize the wars, and they're overseas, and we don't really know. All we see is kind of a television's view of the war, out of sight, out of mind, but yet, by golly, wave the flag idea. Then people have this deception over what war really is and how abusive and hostile and hate-filled and evil war is. And so anyway, I digress except to introduce the summary of last hour to Scott Bradley for his additions and consultation, if you will. Scott, welcome, sir.
Well, thank you very much, and of course I would always have much to say about many different topics, but war is perhaps the germ of all evil. Every single wicked thing that happens on the earth is magnified by war, and consequently the American Founding Fathers were very concerned. They wanted it to be, you know, they knew they would have to enter into it occasionally when wicked nations or wicked peoples in, you know, basically forced it upon them, but they wanted it to be a deliberative process where justice was considered, and there was to be a defensive war. Never was it to be a take the war to the other people, and we can prove that every way to Sunday. But perhaps, I know you don't want to thrash this the rest of your next hour, but let me just read you a couple of things James Madison said about war. And it bears review and consideration. By the way,
hey, before you continue on that, Scott, I want to bring up a question. Kurt Crosby, I don't know if he directly asked the question, but he certainly alluded to the question, which was, instead of saying, hey, why do politicians like to make war? Kurt basically said it slightly different, which is, and I kind of turned his prose into a question to summarize, to get your arms around the point. But Kurt said he wishes we could redefine the question to really, when is war really justified? How do you know when war really makes sense versus when it's wrong to go to war? And is there a justification for war ever? And the answer is yes, but it's very limited in scope and different from what the average American believes or feels as well. Before we get to Scott, did I articulate that well enough, Kurt? All right, well, Kurt's missing in action. Scott, that's
just
the summary.
Just say that question one more time for me, please.
Well, it was your question. Did I summarize your question right?
I think it's fine, Sam.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so when is war really justified was kind of Kurt's point, and it's rarely. But it's a better question than why do people like to go to war to say when is war justified? Because then it articulates, you know what, there are legitimate reasons to go to war, but very, very, very few. And so I think Kurt's point on this was wise and really kind of reset the discussion to be a whole lot more constitutionally meaningful, Scott.
Well, indeed, justification for entering into any war is very narrow. And in fact, you're aware of I consider it probably be one of the 20th century's most amazing constitutional scholars, a guy by the name of J. Reuben Clark, Jr. He was an undersecretary of state, a brilliant man. His writings are incisive and insightful. And my reading of him, I have come to the conclusion that he felt that the last just war that the United States was involved in was the War of 1812. That's how rare they are. And the fact is, we say, oh, you got to support the troops. Oh, how could you be so unpatriotic? Yada, yada, yada. How about if we supported the troops by not sending them into harm's way unless it was a just war that had been duly considered through our deliberative process that the founders outlined in, you know, the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11, where Congress, the people closest to the people, that were elected by the people and that had to pay for it. In the old days, of course, the people elected the congressmen. The states basically appointed the senators. The states would end up with a bill, if you will. The people ended up, you know, spending their lives on the thing, and they were the ones to be closest to it. There was never, ever, ever any justification for delegating that authority to anybody. And in fact, constitutional protocol prohibits that, whether you go to John Locke and his second treatise, or you go to St. George Tucker, or you go to Thomas Jefferson. Every one of them said you cannot redelegate an authority that was delegated by the people through the Constitution to the legislative. So here's the deal.
By the way, just to add, none of the branches can delegate their just defined authority.
Correct.
All right. So I just want to broaden that and make sure people understand. Nobody has the authority to give to another what was given to them to do.
Right. You cannot redelegate. So here's what Madison said in the convention, and then I'll give you something else. We can carry on with whatever you want. But the first statement was made during the convention of 1787. The last one was made toward the end of his life. Okay, so he held this position all his life. He said, in times of actual war, the discretionary powers are constantly given to the executive magistrate. Constant apprehension of war has the same tendency to render the head, meaning the executive, too large for the body. A standing military force with its overgrown executive will not long be safe companions to liberty. The means of defense against foreign danger have always been the instruments of tyranny at home. Among the Romans, it was a standing maxim to excite a war whenever a revolt was apprehended. Throughout all Europe, the armies kept up under the pretense of defending have enslaved the people. Okay, that was made during the convention. Here he is later in his life. Of all the enemies to liberty, public liberty, war is perhaps the most to be dreaded because it comprises and develops the germ of every other. War is the parent of armies. From these proceed debts and taxes, and armies and debts and taxes are known instruments for bringing the many under the dominion of the few. In war, too, the discretionary powers of the executive is extended. Its influence in dealing out offices, honors, and emoluments is multiplied. And all the means of seducing the minds are added to those of subduing the force of the people. Now, this final statement is a critical one. No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare. Okay, folks.
All right, hold on. I want you to repeat that phrase. It's so vital to understand, sir. Say that again.
No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare. Since 9/11, 2001, we have been told repeatedly, we are in a generational war. That means my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. Now, of course, I could give you so many other statements by the luminaries such as George Washington and St. George Tucker, just incisively, just eviscerating this going into war for for these unjust causes. And honestly, if you read J. Reuben Clark, we haven't been in very many just wars. We have, in fact, we've been the ones that have been aggressively pursuing them. In fact, when I was little, of course, I early in my life started considering the scriptures and those things, and I knew of the conflagrations that would occur in the Middle East in the last days, and the, you know, 200 million man armies that were met together, and yada yada yada, and it concerned me, and I considered deeply, would the United States be involved in those things, and I came to the conclusion as a young naive boy under 6 years old, I was probably 4 or 5. I mean, that's how early I was pondering this. That America was too great, America was too good, the principles that the nation was founded on would prevent us from being in these conflagrations, and we would be able to stand independent of these things. And now that I'm older, a little bit more cynical perhaps, I find America being not just there, we are the instigators in many instances, under the goadings of other nations, of course, in many instances. We're kind of the puppet instead of the big, strong nation. And Washington, by the way, addressed this very clearly in his farewell address about how a nation could become basically enslaved to another and actually lose its liberty. So, but we can talk about all this if you want further. I mean, holy cow, there's so much to talk about, I'm sure.
Amen to that. Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Kurt and Dr. Scott Bradley in the house. FreedomsRisingSun.com is website. Is war peace or peace war? I think not.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Scott, didn't mean to interrupt you. Thanks for your patience with us. So, you know, this idea of peace is war, war is peace, I think the people are greatly deceived, but the Founding Fathers had an absolute clear view of the evils and the concerns about war, and they articulated such, I don't know if I want to say every chance they got, but almost.
They really, truly were very enlightened in this process. We have become a nation of warmongers, unfortunately. Guys like Lindsey Graham have never seen anything happen in the world they didn't want to kill some Marines in. And it's appalling to me that we take the lives of our people so lightly. And, you know, they're so sanitized in their little hollowed halls of Congress and everything. And the media, everybody loves the smell of napalm in the morning, you know, when they're in the media. And we can go out and thrash somebody else around the world. Let me just briefly again. I tell you, there's so much to be said, but here's a brief statement. I'm truncating it very much. From St. George Tucker, probably one of the preeminent constitutional scholars of the founding era. But he said, the term war embraces the extremes of human misery and iniquity and is alike the offspring of the one and the parent of the other. What else has the history of war from the earliest ages to the present moment but an afflicting detail of the suffering and calamities of mankind resulting from the ambition, usurpation, animosities, resentments, piques, intrigues, avarice, rapacity, oppressions, murders, assassinations, and other crimes of a few possessing power. How rare are the instances of a just war? How few of those which have been thus denominated have their existence in a national injury? The personal claims of the sovereign are confounded with the interests of the nation over which he presides, and his private grievances or complaints are transformed to the people who are thus made the victims of a quarrel in which they have no part until they have become principals in it. I mean, think about this for a minute. It's like, oh yeah, well, I mean, I can tell you instances. I mean, I lost friends. I mean, we have instances of people that, you know, tragic situations, and you say, oh man, ain't it awful? It is awful, but we put them in places they should never have been. I mean, you know, there's an instance here about 60 miles away from me where we lost a young father and everything. He was in Afghanistan, and it's like, what the heck was he doing there? I mean, here we are. This is 18-plus years that we've been embroiled in that thing. And Afghanistan, they've shifted the plan. They've shifted their mission so many times, nobody knows what it is. And the ones I've talked to that have spent time there, they used to have posters up, I don't know if they still do, in the chow halls and everything that said, believe in the mission. You get people aside privately, nobody believes in the mission. The mission's shifting constantly. And what we're doing there is just slaughtering good and wonderful people, spending a fortune on things that we shouldn't be involved in. And it was never, never, ever a war to be in to begin with. And Iraq is even more difficult to justify. And Syria, how do we even get there? Look at Somalia, for goodness sakes. Anywhere you look, it's totally unjustified. And we can't seem to bring it to closure. Trump keeps saying he's going to pull people out of all the foreign wars, and specifically he's talked recently about Syria. He pulls somebody out, puts them in Iraq just across the border, and he sends somebody else in. I mean, and then they go in to take our oil? What? Just war has nothing to do with Middle Eastern oil or being a policeman for the world. None of that is even entered into it. And just war has a lot to do with our own defense of our ability to worship our God, practice our religion, enjoy the liberty of providing for our families, and being able to lift and bless our fellow man. We need to be able to recognize that it has nothing to do with all of the completely fabricated and trumped up purposes that we currently get constantly. And we have become a warlike people, a warmongering people, and we think that if you're a patriot, you got to be for going out and slaughtering the masses, going overseas, meeting interesting people, and killing them, for crying out loud. And it's like, think about this for a minute. If in the United States of America, a foreign power came here and spent nights going into homes, communities, kicking doors in, scaring the women and children, would we have an insurgency here? I hope we would. I hope everybody would be up in arms against that. And no, so now we say, well, yeah, but the insurgents ought to settle down in Afghanistan and let us kick their doors in and scare their women and children. For heaven's sake, who's invaded what country? I mean, this is appalling to me. And you say, oh, well, they're going to bring the war here. They never brought the war here until after we had offended everybody to the point that we've created all this blowback from all of the enemies we've... If you kill my brother with an unrighteous war, do you think I'm going to say, that's okay? You think there'll be blowback? It's really astounding to me. And we can't figure out why so many people are offended with the nation nowadays. Well, anyway, don't get me started, Sam. I know what's wrong with you.
See, I love it when honest, Americans who understand the supreme law of our land sound off on the intent of our founders, because it's really, really vital to understand, and especially on Veterans Day. It's important to think through these critical issues. It's, you know, good to be grateful for, and to, I don't know if I want to celebrate Veterans Day. I think the wrong words are used, but I think we really need to highlight the reality of the situation. I don't think most Americans are even understanding, or I don't even think they have a handle on the reality of war, Scott.
Well, let me just give an example. And again, I'm flipping through George Washington's farewell. I'm looking through, I mean, all the founders, incredibly. But let me just use a personal example. How perverted things become. Some of you may remember the spring of 1970. That's the time where we invaded Cambodia. Now, I was serving at the time, and I'm a dumb kid, okay? But to me, it was an appalling divergence from Americanist principle. We invaded a sovereign country. Now, I've heard people say, yeah, well, the VC were running across the river. Well, they weren't running. They were swimming across the river constantly. They'd hit and run back across the river. And so anyway, but it was a sovereign country. The United States invaded Cambodia, and it was like, for even a dumb kid like me, it was like, holy cow, where's the constitutionality of this? I mean, you know, some people say, well, we were invited into South Vietnam, and of course it was fought under the CETO, the Southeast Asia Treaty Organization treaty, which insisted the United States come in under that, and we could talk about the fallacy of that at some point. But here we were in the spring of 1970 invading Cambodia. Now, some of us, we probably talked a little more than we should have about that. Now, that was just within our little unit, okay? But across the nations of the world, it was like, holy cow, what's going on? I mean, the United States just doesn't up and invade foreign countries in 1970. Now, all of that's changed. It became commonplace and has just become the way of life now. Nobody gives a blinks an eyelash except for some of us that want to abide by the principles. But let me tell you what happened to me. Now, I don't know how widespread this was. It could have been a small unit that the CEO got concerned about the grumbling that was going on and he wanted to put a stop to it. Or it may have been military-wide. I do not know. Like I say, I was a dumb kid. But our commanding officer, our CEO, brought some of us in and insisted that we take an oath to uphold the president. Okay? Now, the oath I took when I joined was to uphold the Constitution. It doesn't have an expiration date. There is no goal until you're, you know, 25 years old or anything like this. I still abide by that oath. But what happened was this CO wanted, and not a large group of us, put our arm to the square and take an oath to uphold the United States president. Now, what he was creating, and I don't know how widespread this was, but what he was creating is in essence what the Romans used, a Praetorian Guard, a palace guard. And our oath runs not to a man or anything. It runs to the foundation of this nation, upholding our liberty and all of it that's been vouchsafed through the United States Constitution. I refused to take that oath. I don't know why I wasn't hung out to dry. For some reason, there were no repercussions for me, anyway. But the fact of the matter is, and it may have been that they realized, hey, look, this kid's just dumb enough to fight it, you know. But at any rate, what is happening? We become perverse in our belief system. And we take this issue of war since then, in the last 50 years, nearly, that it's become so completely universal, so general, as to it ultimately, I believe, will affect all of us. And we're in the process, I think, of setting it up so even our little girls are going to have to be drafted there. The Congress right now is studying universal registration for a draft. We don't have a draft now, but I think that the fix is in. They've decided, oh, now all women can be...
And I pray this never happens, ladies and gentlemen. Get on your knees and say your prayers. That would be disaster. Liberty Roundtable Live continues in seconds with Dr. Scott Bradley.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
a top Republican on the House Intelligence Committee, one of the three panels leading the impeachment inquiry, is now defending the whistleblower whose complaint sparked the inquiry into President Trump. Texas Congressman Will Hurd saying on Fox News Sunday,
"We should be protecting the identity of the whistleblower. I've said that from the very beginning, because how we treat this whistleblower will impact whistleblowers in the future."
Adding that having a whistleblower law on the books is important as an overall check and balance. Former U.S. UN Ambassador Nikki Haley saying that two top members of the Trump administration were trying to get her to undermine President Trump. Haley says that former Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and former Chief of Staff John Kelly told her they were resisting the president because they were trying to save the country. And this is USA Radio News.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents
and Doug
Limu. When we're not telling people that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need, I've actually been moonlighting as a DJ. What? Check it! Here's the good part!
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Friends and family, I've told you about the great sleep I get with my MyPillow every night. Well, right now you can get a great deal and extra safety, because if you go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, get their buy one, get one free offer on the MyPillow premium pillow. Your 60-day money-back guarantee goes all the way through March 1st, 2020. That's now through December 25th. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special and use my promo code USA.
Record cold could be coming to dozens of U.S. cities this week as the National Weather Service is forecasting lows that would break or tie records in at least 148 cities between Tuesday and Thursday. It's Veterans Day. Plenty of businesses offering discounts and freebies to veterans and active duty service members. President Trump will be speaking at the beginning of a parade in New York City. The People's Choice Awards last night, where one of the night's biggest moments came from actor-comedian Kevin Hart. He was there to accept the award for Comedy Act of 2019, and it was his first major public appearance since he was seriously injured in a car crash last September. He says,
"First and foremost, man, thank God, because I definitely don't have to be here. Being that I am, it makes me appreciate life even more. It makes me appreciate the things that really matter. Family. I want to thank my wife, my kids."
USA Radio News.
All right, live and on your radio. I think this war issue on Veterans Day is so critical to cover. Now, I don't believe the average American understands what's happening. We're in over 130 nations, militarily speaking. We spend probably more money on war and have spent more money on war than probably any other issue in the history of the world. We've been at war 93% of our nation's history, Scott.
You know, George Washington warned against these entangling alliances, if you will, with foreign powers and picking favorites and everything, and I could literally read you paragraphs of it. We don't have time, I know, but let me illustrate the concern with a statement John F. Kennedy made. It was a stupid statement, it was wrong, and it had a bad outcome, but you can replace the country he's talking about here with any other country in the world you want. Pick your favorite, pick your least favorite, whatever you want, put it in this statement and see if it does not have the same play out that it does. This is a statement that we all know had a happily ever after ending. Now, I'm saying that very sadly, but here's what he said. "Vietnam represents a test of American responsibility and determination in Asia. If we are not the parents of little Vietnam, then surely we are the godparents. We presided at its birth. We gave assistance to its life. We have helped to shape its future. As French influence in the political, economic, and military spheres has declined in Vietnam, American influence has steadily grown. This is our offspring. We cannot abandon it. We cannot ignore its needs. And if it falls victim to any of the perils that threaten its existence, communism, political anarchy, poverty, and the rest, then the United States, with some justification, will be held responsible and our prestige in Asia will sink to a new low," end quote. Now, the fact of the matter is, this was ill-conceived. I've got a book sitting right here right now. It's a Robert McNamara book that I've been kind of nauseating myself through. It's called In Retrospect. McNamara was one of the whiz kids that came in to, you know, support the Kennedy administration, and it became his war and Lyndon Johnson's war and everything. But you know what? In retrospect, he gives himself and all of those that colluded on this a pass. We were kind of naive. We didn't quite understand. Well, it just came out that way. The 58,000 Americans that died, the hundreds of thousands that got maimed, the millions of Vietnamese that got killed and maimed, it's appalling to me. But McNamara gives everybody that was involved in it a pass, saying, well, we probably know better now. If they'd have studied the American Foundation, looked at the Constitution for crying out loud, if they had read the words of the American founders and looked at what they said about war, they would have understood that it was ill-conceived from the very moment it started. And it just is appalling to me that we didn't learn anything from it, except for maybe better body armor or something. I mean, you know, it's something that now we have a different approach, and we have fewer casualties than we had during Vietnam. But to tell you the truth, we're setting up a conflagration ultimately that is scriptural. And if we read and understand the scriptures, I think we have to understand that there's trouble brewing, and we're right in the middle of it. So our nation has a lot to bear, I'm afraid, on this.
Kurt, do you want to chime in on this? I think that we're in a very precarious situation. We cannot wage war around the world forever without repercussions from other nations in terms of blowback, as Ron Paul and the CIA highly documented. That blowback can be severe. We have become the hegemony nation of the world that others fear and hate. And not to mention the repercussions of man, or the blowback from man. We cannot do this and qualify for God's blessings. So, as Scott wisely says, we're in serious trouble on this one.
Well, and yet we have, you know, there are ways out of it. There's certainly time to repent and that kind of thing. But, you know, the scriptures, and I would like to hope that the guys in charge of the whole war thing and all that stuff and the peace of our nation and things like that would be aware of scripture and maybe even consult godly men, and hopefully be that way in prayer and all that kind of thing. I mean, I think there are solutions, but it is true that it looks like we're in for nasty weather.
There you have it, Scott. I know we've spent a long time on this topic, but I really believe for Veterans Day, it's justified. We spend more money on war and the downstream realities of war than probably anything in our nation's history. We've been at war 93% of our nation's history. We're at over 130-plus nations militarily speaking, and I see it nothing but increasing. I know we believe Donald's pulling us out of some things, and there's some very public focus issues that he's done some good things on, I've got to admit, but as a whole, I think we've got more war rather than less. Rumors of war, more war, literally every year, sir. It doesn't de-escalate in any way. It just increases exponentially, it seems, whether it be public or private. Or, for example, are we at war in Mexico? Well, the drug cartels certainly are, and we've funded the drug cartels and funded Mexico with foreign aid and everything else for so long, it's hard to say we're not even at war there, although you would never say that we are. We're not even in that nation militarily for the most part. But so we're everywhere, sir, and it seems to be exponentially increasing. Am I crazy, or is it just my thought?
No, and the scriptures say that there would be wars and rumors of wars, and the people should understand that, and we need to get our scriptures out and read them, and I wish that our leadership would. I wish that we had righteous leaders, which I think there are a few, but they're rare. You know, Kurt asked the question that you relayed before. He asked the question before I came in. What is it? And we could get into some real definitive statements about, okay, define it here, define it there. But in general, I think you need to understand that the laws for war, as the, were set forth by the American founders, it must be defensive, it must be non-aggressive, it must be non-preemptive, it must be deliberative. There is a process that they go through. And for us to wave the magic wand, I think back for a minute here, September 2012, there was a Senate Joint Resolution 41 that was brought forth. And unfortunately, both of Utah's senators sponsored it, and there was a lot of other ones that did, that basically said, we are delegating to the United States president the authority to decide whether we go to war with Iran. And it's like, whoa, read Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11. No, you have that responsibility, up or down, okay? That passed with only nine that didn't vote. There was one that voted against it. Everybody else voted for it. And it's like, think for a moment. This thing that is the most onerous of all burdens, and we just flippantly and without any intelligence, it seems like, decide, we're going to let the president decide. And you heard what, and the rest of it, you didn't hear the whole rest of the statement by St. George Tucker that I told you I had to truncate. He talked about how every nation in the world would be blessed if the executive was not granted the power to take the nation to war. You read the Federalist Papers. My heavens. You always got something I want to read to you extra, but Hamilton clearly stated the president did not have the authority to take us to war. And, of course, neither does a treaty and neither does any other goadings of another nation. It has a process it goes through. And Tucker, by the way, talked at length about the stupidity of an idea that a treaty could take us to war without them exercising the constitutional responsibility within Congress. This stuff has become so perverted, and it is so onerous. This fact of war is such a burden for a nation, and we enter into it just flippantly as a people. And we launch Tomahawk missiles and say, we're not in war. It's an aerial attack with missiles. If it was an aerial attack and that wasn't war, what did Japan do to us on December 7th, 1941? It was a deliberative aerial attack, and it was an act of war. But the United States is doing the same thing to other countries with aerial attacks that we say, we're not in war with them. And if not, we have other surrogate nations, or that we're the surrogate of, and we're providing the weapons for, that carry war to other nations. And are, for example, the war in Yemen that the Saudis are doing right now, that couldn't be carried on without America's help. And there's one of the biggest not just human rights. It's a crisis for humanity. The people are starving to death. Their medical care. You know, there's two groups that bear the greatest brunt of war in the nation that's being attacked. They're the very old and the very young. They're most vulnerable to disease. You blow up their water supply, their clean water supply, or their infrastructure to provide power. Okay, you get sanitation problems, and you can't run a hospital without power. The very old and the very young receive the greatest brunt of these things. It's just appalling if you think the whole long-term, the collateral damage, if you will.
Amen to that. And you got to think, too, sometimes we pretend we're helping, but are we indeed making it worse?
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified? Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosher-tified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC. Not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. This is, I know, a long topic. We've talked about war for 2 hours now. But again, when we spend more money on that issue than any other, and when I find it to be morally, it's a moral hazard. Yeah. I mean, it's a moral hazard. It's a crime and a crisis. And I mean, we've turned bread and circus into blood and circus, it seems. And it's nothing but getting worse every single day. And the American people are just absolutely severed from the realities of war. And that's the only way they can perpetuate it, is dump it on the president. Congress claims they're doing their best to fund the veterans, even though they're not responsible. That's the lie. And then Americans are simply isolated from the realities of war. And so it's allowed to continue. But as Scott wisely said right before the pause, these wars wouldn't even be able to continue without the United States being involved. And the only way the United States can be involved and fund these illegal, unconstitutional, immoral wars really is with dishonest money. So it goes back to the fake Federal Reserve, literally becomes the engine for these wars. And I bring it up and spend so much time on it because I think we really need to think about it. Instead of celebrating Veterans Day, we need to basically think of Veterans Day as a day of gratitude, a day to refocus. We need to reset our compass, if you will, and say, where are we headed and what do we advocate for and why? And it's really critical to understand, when is war justifiable? And I would submit to you, in 99% of the wars that have been waged around the world for literally since Cain killed Abel, and the wars that America has been in 93% of her, quote, short history, if you will, 93% of the time, you kind of go, what percent of that is literally justified? And I submit to you that it is very, very little indeed, Scott. Finish on that and then wrap us up by, what can we do to get out of these wars? I mean, I feel like my hands are tied and I'm like disenfranchised from this discussion, really, if you will.
Well, you know, first of all, before we leave this, I must say, now there are probably those that are saying, oh, you're dishonoring our warriors and all this. No, nothing could be farther from the truth. If you go back and read Douglas MacArthur's farewell address at West Point, he talked about the warrior really is the one that bears the pains, the sorrows, and suffering of the war. And he, of all people, is not the warmonger, okay? Now, so my position is that we don't dishonor the warrior. What we do is we want to correct the false philosophies of those that have somehow, I was going to say, seized the reins of power, but we grant them the reins of power oftentimes, but that have become our leaders. And the leadership is responsible for upholding their oath of office. The warrior is carrying out the duty. And if you look at Douglas MacArthur's farewell address, read it over. It's a monumental review of this thing and the price that's paid by those that march off to war. This is something that the nation, I mean, think of the mothers and fathers, the husbands and the wives mostly, the brothers and sisters, whatever, that were left home, that were bereft of loved ones. And this is not in any way dishonoring those that have served or that are willing to serve or that are willing to give all. And there are many that have and will yet, I'm confident. But the leadership of the nation needs to be brought back in to abiding by the very clear constraints that the United States Constitution puts on them. There is no justification for virtually anything we're doing around the world right now, and we are shedding lives, fortune, and blood of Americans that should not be. The warriors are not the ones at fault. The warriors are the pawns. The warriors are the ones that are abused. The warriors are the ones that bear the suffering and the pain and the death, and so do their loved ones back home. This is, you know, we need to recognize, let's stop this ungodly approach to the things in the world that we've been doing for decades. And like I say, in my brief lifetime, and in my consciousness of what's going on around this world, in that brief period, we have totally abandoned these principles that the founders gave us with, such great cost they gave them to us. So we need to go back to the foundation. We, the people, need to understand clearly what the limits and bounds are. We, the people, need to bring people into office that will uphold their oath of office. It's an oath is something that imprecates the vengeance of God. That's how Noah Webster defined it. So they're asking for the vengeance of God if they don't uphold it. And we, the people, need to remove from office those people that violate that oath of office. We need to raise up a generation of people that understand the foundation rather than the foolish perversions that have become so commonplace in America today. And I know, in fact, when we do that, we will be restored to a firm foundation. We'll become, again, a nation that's respected throughout the nations of the world. I gave a talk here a while ago with some very old people that were there, and I said to them, you know, I bet you can remember, you know, this was back in the 30s. Well, I mean, I wasn't given the talk in the 30s, but they were traveling in the 30s. I'll bet you can remember when Americans were welcomed anywhere in the world. They rolled out the red carpet. People wanted to meet you. They were gracious and helpful, and now it's become the ugly American. We've got so much blowback, people want to kill us everywhere we go. And it is happening around the world, you know?
This Mexico example where these people living in Mexico were literally murdered because they were, you know, I think they were drawn into a trap by the two drug cartels who wanted to use them as bait, and they didn't mind getting rid of the families that were opposing the drug cartels anyway. But now the whole group, the whole community, if you will, is literally fleeing Mexico for Arizona, and they're saying, we're never going back. Sadly, though, as the border leaks like a sieve, and sadly, as we continue in this war mentality, this is going to spill into the southern United States and eventually become the way it is for all of us if we don't
indeed
turn to God.
Yes, that issue, I mean, right there, close and secure the borders, the issue of the USMCA, the United States-Canada-Mexico Agreement, that will open the borders more. That will put a greater influx. They do a lot of things in there. They violate the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8. They violate issues of the putting international organizations over unions that are going to impose that on us. The gender things will be more strongly. But this thing of the violence, that thing is migrating north. This event in Mexico happened 70, 80 miles from the United States border. It's an ungovernable and ungoverned territory in Mexico. And that stuff is becoming, it's balkanizing the United States, whether it's people that are being brought in from the Middle East or people from Latin America or wherever. We're being balkanized with infiltration groups that we're gonna pay the price someday. I'm sad to say. But you're right. This thing in Mexico is just a precursor to what's coming to the United States.
And we need to turn to God is probably the biggest thing we can do to prevent it. I mean, even biblically speaking, if you know, we should all, if anybody is a Christian, you should be on this idea. The Bible basically says, hey, if we repent and turn to God and keep his commandments, he will protect us and heal our land. Isn't that the literal promise?
It is indeed, and I am confident that that can be restored. And you know that you probably remember, or maybe you don't. I don't know. In the Lord of the Rings trilogy, when Gandalf and Frodo were talking, and Frodo says, "You know, man, I wish it hadn't happened in my day." You know, and Gandalf says, "Yeah, well, true. But what we do with our day is what's important, and what we do with what we've got." You know, we live in a very tumultuous time. I don't know if it's an Irish curse or an Irish blessing where it says, may you live in interesting times. We indeed do. But it really is what we will do with our day And
I submit if we do what's right with our day, if we are peaceful and we follow the Prince of Peace and we keep the commandments and we set an example and we live public and personal lives according to God's laws and we are moral people and we are humble, peace-loving people, I believe it won't be a curse, it'll be a blessing. On the other hand, if we don't, it absolutely will be a curse.
And that's the thing. It is our day. I just found this statement by Frodo. I wish it need not have happened in my time, this problem with the ring and the evil and everything. And Gandalf says, so do I, and so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us. And we need to decide what this time that's been given to us is precious. And our freedom's precious. And our lives are precious, and our families are precious, and the gifts that we've been given by God in this land are precious, and we're squandering them throughout the world unconstitutionally, and it is tragic.
And I think we need to remember this day that Lowell Nelson talked about. He likes to call it Armistice Day. What that means is truce, or an agreement to end the fighting. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, ending the fighting would truly be a reason to celebrate in the greatest country on the face of the earth. We could come back, end the fighting, avoid foreign entanglements as the founding fathers warned, turn to God, receive his blessings, and become a light on a hill as was intended by our founding fathers and directed by God Almighty, Scott.
Indeed. And in fact, you know, if you think about the 11th day of the 11th month at the 11th hour in 1918 is when this armistice was to go in. It was kind of that watershed time, the war to end all wars. And literally, if we knew the history, if we knew what had happened, that war was an effort to bring about a global government. The Council on Foreign Relations and the League of Nations and everything that followed on. World War II was simply another run at trying to do global government. These things were not really war to end all wars, as all people...
And by the way, to make your point, it's 11-11 right now, sir.
What's that?
To make your point, it's 11-11 right now. What is this, November the 11th, sir?
Yeah, well, that's the 11th day of the 11th month at the 11th hour is when they were going to stop the shooting. And that was to end all wars. But really, the people that are trying to bring about global tyranny, we're using that as an instrument. They failed because the United States didn't ratify the League of Nations, and so they made another run at it. In World War II, we got the United Nations. We got the Council on Foreign Relations that have been pressing this. The administrations of all are filled with globalists. They're the ones that are taking us to war all over the nation. It really is a continuation of the hatred and purposes of those that seek to bring about global tyranny, in spite of the fact it was supposed to be the war that ended all war. It certainly did not. All it was a precursor to what was coming because of the evil of men that seek power. And that's what we're still fighting against. It's a universal and it's an eternal battle. And we're in the middle of it. And we got to see what we're going to do with the time that's given to us.
Let's highlight one other reality before we end, ladies and gentlemen. There was a war in heaven before this world was. And the sun of the morning fell and was kicked out, and the war between good and evil commenced. And that war is continuing on the earth today. Nations are caught in the middle of it. Individuals are caught in the middle of it. Families are caught in the middle of it. You must declare whose side you're on. I hope to be on the Lord's side. Who? I pray that I can do my very best to reject war and stand for peace. At the same time, we will defend the God-given right of agency. Without it, we're doomed. With it, we can live with our Father in heaven someday. Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious, and we follow the Prince of Peace, even Jesus Christ. We testify he was resurrected and he lives. We testify he is the answer. Any final words, Scott? 10 seconds.
I think that you're absolutely right on, and all I can say is amen, brother. This is something we've got to take seriously. And let's make a difference for the good.
Ladies and gentlemen, get on your knees and pray hard and then stand up and do all you can. And if we do our best, we can indeed trust in God for the rest. But it starts with morality in the people. There is no other way. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for being alongside for the ride. Archives at LibertyRoundtable.com. So is the donation link. Help us if you can. LibertyRoundtable.com. For Sam Curtin, Dr. Scott Bradley, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.